Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Today, we'll be discussing the new Instagram teen accounts. And in almost a fitting tie-in, we're also going to be discussing a screen time problem that zoos are having with their gorillas. Quite the topic. So hello, everyone. Welcome. I am Kelly Newcomb, founder of Brave Parenting. And what a show we have for you today, Brave Parents. I could not possibly conquer these weighty topics without my other half, Chelsea Heasel.
Hey, 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 everyone. I am so glad to be back. Summer was awesome. But as anyone knows, with three teenagers who do not drive, it gets a bit crazy when you're trying to get everyone from place to place. But Kel, you know this. You've nearly launched all of your children into adulthood, but now you went back. You're almost back at the beginning, my friend. Explain that to our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. So my youngest two are about to turn 18, and I now took on my six-year-old granddaughter. She is living with us during the week. We are helping get her educated, and while my daughter and her husband are working. And so, yeah, we're back in first grade. It's, I forgot some first grade, some first grade life. But so we're back at it. So, you know, I was kind of on the edge of all the older teenage stuff, but now I'm back in the beginning. So you parents with young ones, I'm still in it with you. I still feel all of your pain. But today we're not talking about six-year-olds. We're going to talk about teenagers, especially Instagram and their new rollout of teen accounts. Last week, Instagram announced that they are going to be rolling out almost immediately in the United States with greater restrictions for all teens, but especially teens under 16 years old.
That's right. So already, you guys, we see an impact of what collective pressure and voices can do. And even a big tech giant like Meta has bent their knee. And Meta, of course, you guys, you know, owns Instagram. Now, before we get into the details and our opinion of this, we're just going to give you a brief history of Instagram's drama. So in 2017, Instagram was cited as the worst app for mental health. That was 7 years ago, you guys, and this drama has surrounded Instagram for years. Then, back in 2021, Frances Haugen, who was a former Facebook employee, actually turned whistleblower and leaked internal documents showing that Instagram's parent company, Meta, was absolutely aware of the harmful effects that the platform had on young users, particularly teenage girls. The documents indicated that Instagram had made body image issues worse for one in three teen girls, and that teens blamed Instagram for increasing their anxiety and depression. Now, unfortunately, despite this knowledge, Meta continued to prioritize engagement and profit over addressing these very serious issues. Now, following the whistleblower's revelations, Mark Zuckerberg and other Meta executives were called to testify before Congress. Kelly and I watched these hearings, and we had a handful of good snarky comments as we watched them, but during these hearings, lawmakers on both the left and the right unified and expressed their outrage over Instagram's impact on young users, with some asking Zuckerberg to apologize to parents for the harm that the platform had caused. And this was truly an epic scene, epic only because it showcased Zuckerberg's complete dissociation between the platform that he operates and the real lives of the parents. And the announcement of the teen accounts that we've just heard is a direct response to the backlash Instagram has faced over its impact on teen mental health.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's important to know. And I'm going to start off by saying that, you know, at first I was thrilled when I heard this announcement. I thought, oh, it's about time. But the more I read, and then I listened to several podcasts where they were interviewing Meta leadership, you know, the more really disenchanted I became over these changes. It's because, you know, Meta is priding itself in these interviews and saying, we are so pro-parent. We are on your side, parents. You know, and they're saying, oh, we've spent a long time listening to parents and hearing their concerns about their children's online lives. And we are just so proud to be bringing you such helpful parent-forward and safety by design initiatives to them. Now, hopefully I'm not the only one who sees the painful irony here. They caused the problem, right? Their platform perpetuates this problem of competition and comparison bullying, sexting, solicitation, shaming, sextortion. And children and young adults, they've taken their lives because of what this app allows. And for years, I mean, not just 6 months or a year, many years, over 7 years, concerns have been raised and Meta has done nothing. It took Senator Josh Hawley during that Senate judiciary hearing to call on Mark Zuckerberg to stand up and apologize to parents and families, as Chelsea just described, to those children who have died as a result of Instagram's content before they really started doing something, because then it became really embarrassing. That is when I think they realized, okay, well, we're going to have to do something because, you know, they're really walking in shame in this. If you haven't watched it's like a 5-minute video of this senator's grilling of Zuckerberg saying who was fired because of this. And he's like, well, I can't tell you who was fired. No one was fired. And it's really an incredible video. It's like 5 minutes. And I'm going to link it in the show notes because it's worth watching. But that was 9 months ago. And, you know, Meta and Instagram was on the hot seat. They knew they hadn't done enough. And we all knew that they didn't really care. And the Senate Judiciary Committee really made them look like scum. They did a great job of that. And so now they're doing something. And, you know, wouldn't you know it? Oh, my goodness. They're pro-parent now. They're like the pinnacle of safety advocates. That's how they are presenting themselves on these podcasts that they're going on presenting this. And I don't know. I just think that it's a little too late. The damage is kind of already done. So yes, I want to say, you know, thank you. I'm glad that you're doing this, but I'm not going to bow down and display gratitude to you for putting basic safety measures that could have been in existence a decade ago. A decade ago, you could have done this. The technology was there. It's not as though this is just new technology. They are incorporating some AI that we're going to hear about in a second. But overall, they could have put really safety by design from the very beginning. Safety by design is what the Center for Humane Technology and Tristan Harris has been promoting for a long time. He was a Google ethicist, and he says safety by design should be the default. That has not been the default at all for Instagram, but now they're saying it is. So let me just break down the changes that Meta states are coming with their new teen accounts. These are changes that they note that they are going to upset their teenage base of users, but they hope it will help them regain the trust of parents. Because remember, they're pro-parent now. And they say it's going to give parents, quote, peace of mind that their teens are safe with the right protections in place. So let's judge this for what it is. Now, teen accounts will be in effect for everyone under 18, but those 16 and over, so basically 16 and 17-year-olds, can change these default settings without a parent. If you are under 16, so basically 13, 14, or 15, then you need a parent to change these settings. So the first one that's coming into effect is that teen accounts will be automatically set to private. Their posts cannot be viewed by anyone who is not an approved follower. Also, teens are going to need to accept new followers, and people who don't follow them, again, cannot see their content or interact with them.
You guys, this is crazy. The fact that right now 13-year-olds can automatically be followed and contacted by others is insane. The fact that these changes are now going into place, it just goes to show how basic and overdue these updates are.
Oh yeah, agreed. But just to note, this can be changed with parents' approval, right? If parents are set up as the supervisor of a teen's account and you want your 13-year-old to be followed by a lot of people, you want them to be, you know, somehow Instagram famous or whatever, you can change this.
And unfortunately, we actually do know that there are a lot of parents out there that are desperate to be basically their child's friend instead of a parent. And they absolutely will override these changes. The reason we can say that is because we have seen parents lie about the minimum age and allow their 12 and 11-year-olds to have accounts when they weren't supposed to.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the youngest age on average is like 8 or 9 that kids are getting on Instagram. So as much as I wish we were wrong, it is a fact. The more parents I interact with across the country, the more I'm aware that parents have simply assimilated Instagram as a natural right for children to, quote, like kind of express themselves. And withholding this right to social media, it just feels like child abuse to them all of a sudden. That's somehow the mindset that parents have gotten into. And I would argue it's crazy. We should really be thinking biblically about Instagram before we think culturally. Now, the second change is that teen accounts are automatically set so teens cannot be messaged by anyone that they're not already connected to. So with these new updates, teens can only be messaged, tagged, or mentioned by people who they follow or who are already approved to follow them, that they're already connected to. Parents are going to be able to see who the child has been messaging with in the past 7 days. They cannot see the content of these messages, but they will be able to see who has been messaged.
You know, I am at the very least glad that parents will be able to see the who, but I really wish there was transparency with these conversations, knowing who can be good enough to determine if something is inappropriately brewing between, you know, the who and your child, kind of. But I wish there was more transparency in the conversations.
Yeah, Meta says on their Q&A on their website that, quote, as with all our parental supervision features, this is designed to strike the balance between helping parents be more involved in their teens' online experiences while still protecting teens' privacy and autonomy.
And Kel, I think it's super important for our listeners to know that there is the very popular parental monitoring service called Bark, but Bark can only monitor Instagram DMs on Android devices. They cannot monitor Instagram DMs on an iPhone, and an iPhone is what we suggest is one of the best child-safe phones if you're not going to go with an actual child-safe phone.
And it by far is the most popular among children. More teens have iPhones than they do have Androids. And so, yeah, that's an important to note because a lot of people rely on Bark. Like, I can't see the conversations, but Bark is going to tell me if there's something concerning. And that may be the case if it's happening over text messages, but it's not the case if it's happening over Instagram DMs. So yeah, it can start a conversation. And that's what they're saying is, hey, they basically want you to sit down and say, hey, you know, I see that you're messaging so-and-so. What kind of things are you talking about? But your kid is not going to tell. I mean, most kids, if it's bad, you're not going to learn. If it's naive and innocent, sure, they're going to tell you. That's the hard part, is these conversations still make for, it's very difficult to actually know the truth. And one more detail here is that these accounts will automatically be set to hide potential offensive comments and message requests with what they say is the strictest hidden word settings. So that can be good. That can certainly maybe ward off some bullying, some shaming, and some hatred that goes on in these teens' accounts. But, well, I guess we'll only know as we go forward how well that filtering works. The third change coming to teen accounts will be that Instagram will put their most restrictive content filter on their accounts by default. So these teen accounts will be automatically set to see less sensitive content from accounts they don't follow. Now that's words directly from Meta, from accounts they don't follow. So here's the key that we might not be processing unless you really think deeply about this. Accounts they don't follow, that means suggested content. They're not gonna stop suggested content from coming to your child. So they're still gonna be saying, hey, follow this person. They're not keeping it in your local community of who you have relationships with. They're still going to be doing that. And so, and not only that, they can still see sensitive content from people they follow, right? This is just the suggested content from people they don't follow. And so there still exists no filter or restriction or ability to limit or disable a teen's ability to follow certain people. They can still follow that person who's going to promote disordered eating. They can still follow that person who's going to promote maybe suicide type self-harm type of issues. Again, teens under 16 cannot change this restrictive content filter without parental permission, but teens over 16, they can automatically turn this off if they don't want to.
Kel, could you describe what Meta considers to be sensitive content?
Yeah. So according to the Meta press release, they say that sensitive content could refer to people fighting or promoting cosmetic procedures. That's the two examples that they give. I would probably also add, because there's been so much body image issues, they're probably going to include in that disordered eating, eating disorder related stuff. But with these new features, parents will also be able to see the, quote, age-appropriate topics their children have chosen to see content from based on their interests. So, for example, maybe they're searching a craft. Maybe they're, you know, something really innocent, or a sport, or something funny. But if they are searching for diet or restrictive eating type of patterns, the parent can see that. So that is a good thing.
So this filtering is going to take out the extreme. But you guys, we really have to point out that it always isn't the extreme or the sensitive content that makes Instagram so terrible for young people. It's the brutal competition and comparison culture that occurs through the sharing and the curating of everyday life. Nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, is being done about this issue.
Oh, yeah, no, because that's what Instagram is built on, is competition and comparison. You take away those features of competition and comparison, and you essentially paralyze the platform. You crack the foundation that Instagram is built on, because it's all about curating a life to be seen by other people. And the nature of how it's been used is in competition comparison. We talked about that in the last episode about parents and the parental stress. And I think it comes from looking at Instagram and seeing other parents. It seems like they're doing it better. It seems like their kids are thriving more. And that competition comparison affects us as adults as well. So if we know it affects us as adults, we know for a fact it is a huge concern for teenagers. Okay, and then the next one is teen accounts are going to have time limit reminders. These teen accounts, they're going to receive prompts to close the app after 60 minutes of use. And their accounts are going to go into like a sleep mode, which is going to mute notifications from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Unfortunately, you guys, these are prompts that the teens can choose to ignore. And sleep mode, they can likewise continue bypassing as long as they're allowed to have their phones after 10 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. In the end, does it really do any good? I don't know.
I mean, theoretically, with some kids, it might. It might, right? But the app, like I said, like you said, is usable during those hours. DMs can still be accessed and checked at any time. You know, but I will say they are giving parents the ability to set limits for the total for the day, where the app like legit becomes unable to access. Now, I love that. I think that's super important. I don't think that it should be an hour. I think it should be like 15 minutes, in my personal opinion. We have talked to a lot of people who've introduced Instagram to like their 16 and 17-year-old and given 15 minutes, like just enough, but to see kind of what's going on in the world, to get a feel of it, but not enough to be harmed by it. Parents are also going to be able to set time blocks during certain hours of the day, which they suggest nighttime, where the children cannot access the app. But why not school? Why did you not mention school? Okay, if we're doing safety by design, it's not hard for Instagram to know time zones and know that basically 8 to 3 during the day is school. For every teenager, that is pretty much school. Why are we not just defaulting in these teens accounts like to be off during that time? To me, that is safety by design. Now, just to brief you on the parental supervision side of Instagram. So first, the parent has to have an Instagram account. If you are going to supervise your teenage account, you have to have an Instagram account yourself. And second, both parties, both the parent and the teen, have to opt in to this parental supervision. That's when, under the parental supervision, you can either keep certain limits on your over 16-year-old, or you can release them. But again, 16-year-old and over, they can release them themselves unless you as the parent really go in and put some hard stops on there. Now, I know what everybody's thinking, because it was the first thing, of course, that we thought. What is to stop teens from creating fake accounts and using fake birthdays so that their age is not a teenager? Well, Meta says that they will be employing facial analysis software to estimate the user's age and automatically apply teen restrictions to accounts that appear to belong to those under the age of 18. Now, if a teen tries to skirt these restrictions by, for example, changing the age of their account, they're going to have to go through a verification process with the parent or provide an ID of some sort. I think that then poses the question, what is stopping a 19-year-old or even a teenager who's, say, 15 from creating a parent account? You only need a picture of your parent. That's easy, right? All kids have phones, the cameras, you can take a picture. Hey, mom, let me take a picture. And then you create an account for your parent, and then you're approving them. Like, they haven't addressed as to how they're going to mitigate that from happening. But nonetheless, they said in an Atlantic article that, quote, Meta won't be sharing all of the ways it will combat circumvention of the parental supervision tool. So I don't know. They either don't know how they're going to do it, or they're just not willing to share. The Meta spokesperson also stated that the company plans to be very careful about not punishing teens who don't have traditional parent guardians in their life. but she said she could not give details on how Instagram would make those distinctions.
Okay, hold on one hot second. First, I'm sorry to state the obvious, but it's teens, you guys. It's teens without traditional parent guardians who absolutely need the most protection from the world of Instagram. They are the ones who can easily be targeted by traffickers or scammers who want to exploit them because they don't have anyone protecting them. And as to how they're going to make those distinctions, you guys, isn't it obvious? If you are on Instagram and you are posting and sharing about your life, Instagram knows everything about you. The AI that they employ to learn about you and to know every intricacy of your life is unbelievably accurate. It is not hard for them to know whether or not you're going to come from a traditional family.
Yeah, and so it's like, we're not going to punish them. What, meaning they're not going to get a teen account because they don't have a parent to override these restrictions? Like, to me, that's like providing a caveat that should not even be there. And it's the whole equity. Everybody needs to be treated fairly. But in my opinion, these are the exact type of teenagers who need more protection. And Meta doesn't care. So to me and my husband, when we heard these, we kind of thought, you know, at first, it's like Instagram's version of a clean needle program. You know, it doesn't actually care about the well-being of children enough to stop providing the drug of self-promotion, competition, and comparison. They're just going to make sure that they at least have like clean needles, so to speak, for them to use the drug. But it's also like this. This is the other way my husband and I discuss this. If you replace Meta as a giant company with, say, big tobacco, and then you change the word Instagram with cigarettes. Let's actually play this out and see how this sounds. Hey, big tobacco has announced new teen cigarettes. They know teens are going to be upset, but big tobacco feels like teen cigarettes will help regain the trust of parents who are concerned about the tobacco their children are smoking. The teen cigarettes will have to be used in private, and so they won't be able to share them with people that they aren't already smoking with. These teen cigarettes are going to be automatically remind the teen that they should stop smoking after a pack a day, but the teen can choose to override this reminder and just keep smoking. Now, knowing how important sleep is, Big Tobacco has designed these cigarettes with a sleep mode so that they won't be as appealing between the hours of 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. But teens who are still allowed to keep their cigarettes in their bedroom, well, they can still smoke throughout the whole night if they choose to. And because Big Tobacco has heard the heart and passion of parents, they have made available a review of who their child is smoking with. Now, you won't get to know precisely what they're smoking or how much, but you'll at least know who they're smoking with. Now, here's the kicker. In order to see who your child is smoking with or maintain these teen cigarettes past the age of 16, well, you, the parent, you have to be a smoker as well. Because if you don't smoke, well, then you cannot possibly help change your child's smoking habit. So you too need to be using this drug, right? Do y'all see how insane this is? Meta has taken us, I think, as a society so far down in this valley of despair that the smallest step up feels like this epic victory. But in reality, they are still pushing a drug. Just because the drug sounds better than it did last week before they announced teen accounts, I don't think it makes it any better. I mean, these are a little bit of an improvement, but if Big Tobacco did something like this years ago, we would be like, what on earth? And especially all these years later, we can look back and say, no, that was terrible. I know we're going to look back another 50 years in advance and be like, what on earth did we allow our children to do? And so, you know, they're just doing this to regain the trust of parents. And well, I hope that parents can see through their tactics and see how damaging Instagram is for teenagers. I do believe that it's going to be enough, sadly, for parents to begin feeling that Instagram is okay again. And that's precisely what Meta wants. And I think likely without any fanfare or press releases, they'll modify their terms of service because that's what they do and no one reads them. And they'll begin suggesting, you know, sensitive content again to teens because they know it works. They know it hooks them.
I'm still shocked listening to that cigarette sort of analogy or comparison that you just did. And I'm just like, wow. I think we just forget things so quickly nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, like the news is so quick and we eat so much of it and we consume it so quickly that last week feels like it was years ago. And so it's just going to be so easy to forget that Instagram was the bad guy, but also still is the bad guy in a lot of ways, you know, Meta, big tech, all of that. And I don't know, we've just said it so many times, Kelly, the heart, it's all about the heart, you guys. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is wicked and desperately sick. These teen account limits cannot fix the heart. All of these parameters that Instagram has put into place are about behavior modification, and they are absolutely not about heart change. Now, as Christians, we believe that it's from the heart where true and lasting change begins. This is why Ezekiel says we needed new hearts. We needed hearts of stone to be taken out, and we needed to be given hearts of flesh. You guys, Instagram and TikTok are absolute disciple makers. The algorithms that drive the content are powerful enough to establish a worldview that is antithetical to the gospel and promotes what is detestable to God. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So I'm just, you guys, here's my two cents. I would really like to see this oversight and accountability with married couples who choose to use Instagram. I think that would be a really great place to start because we're talking then about adults. But in the context of kids, I still cannot say that Instagram or Meta is safe or appropriate for any child. And Instagram's lack of accountability and transparency, I mean, you guys, it's just as dangerous for adults. How much more dangerous then is it for children?
Yeah, we still promote all social media would never begin before 16. But even then, I think that we just have a lot of work to do to educate our children on what's really happening on these platforms and to be as limiting as possible, as long as possible, because they just have more time to establish their worth in Christ and their biblical worldview, which will change the way they look at social media when they do, if they do decide to get on there. Okay, so that's Instagram teen accounts. And we're going to move into maybe a little bit lighter of a topic because that's pretty heavy. We wanted to end with something that we've been holding on to this article, and maybe you've seen it, but we just thought it was crazy and hysterical at the same time that we wanted to share. And so we're going to talk about screen addiction from a different point of view. Who would have thought that we would be talking about screen addiction and animals? Well, not us, but alas, this is a thing. And since it's a thing, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. So you guys, this story came out earlier this summer. I think it was sometime in June or July. And we kind of pinned it in our brains because we just knew that we wanted to share this with you guys. So what happened was the Toronto Zoo over the summer established new parameters for guests that wanted to visit their gorilla enclosure. It's kind of like, remember when we were told to stop feeding the ducks, except now visitors are being asked to please stop showing the content of their phones to the gorillas. And in fact, the Wall Street Journal covered this issue over the summer, and their headline read, "Zoos Concerned as Gorillas Become Hooked on Smartphone Videos."
I love it. That headline was like, what? Wait,
it
just what?
Wait, what?
The zoo even put a sign up for visitors before they entered the enclosure, and it read, "For the well-being of the gorilla troop, please refrain from showing them any videos or photos, as some content can be upsetting and affect their relationships and behavior with their family." Well, and Holly Ross, who is the husbandry supervisor at the zoo, said, quote, "We just want the gorillas to be able to be gorillas." What do you think, Chels?
I don't know. I don't know if I need to like purge all of the sarcasm out of me on the show, which probably would not be edifying to anyone, or if I should just listen to what my mama used to say. And, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. I'm just so torn right now.
I get it. Because, you know, we've been sounding the alarm on big tech and screen for almost 10 years. And it's taken an embarrassingly long time to enforce teen safety accounts and features on Instagram. You know, for governors to begin legally declaring that school campuses are phone free. And it's taken 26 years for a kid safe media and tech bill to land in Congress. So how long, though? This is the question. How long did it take for people to step in and protect gorillas? Right? Like a year, 6 months? But we're really concerned. The gorillas just need to be gorillas. Why are we saying that about children?
I think you just identified my frustration. It's how quickly an animal is protected instead of children. You know, years ago, when Brave Parenting was started, I went to an event with you. I think it was in Central Texas. And a parent described the horror of her kindergarten being shown porn on the school bus by the older kids. And it was the first time I was truly confronted with a heart posture of we don't care. And it wasn't just that the big kids didn't care about what they were showing the little kids. It was that the adults did not intervene on behalf of the kindergartners. Those students were not suspended from the bus. There was no blanket policy protection of no phones on the bus. That was never put into place to protect future students or current students. And back then, unfortunately, we didn't have the advocating and policy pushing voice that we do now. So truly all I could do was just mourn with them. And I say all of this because this we don't care heart posture is epically destroying us. It is coming from social contagions like anger and pride and envy and lust and others that are spreading through media and technology. But inevitably, when issues like anger or transgenderism, which we all know is just envy being renamed, are online social contagions, they absolutely harden our hearts and shape us into apathetic creatures. And these things, anger, envy, and others, they've always existed in society. There's nothing new under the sun. Why? Because our hearts have always been here. They've always been around. This stuff comes from within us. In fact, this is how our Lord and Savior describes our hearts in Mark 7, 20 through 23. Jesus said, he went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person. You guys, this is what comes out of our hearts. And we post it online, we share it, we boast about it, we use it for fame and attention, and then others see it. And because their hearts are also prone to wickedness and attracted to it, they enjoy it. They feel affirmed by it. And the consequence is we all become apathetic to everyone else around us. Why? Because this stuff, like anger or envy or lust, gets used against ourselves and others. And the fact that gorillas were granted protections quicker than children says everything about the condition of our hearts towards each other. We're apathetic. And apathy, you guys, it's defined as a lack of interest, a lack of enthusiasm, and a lack of concern. It's not just that it's adults apathetic against other adults. It's against children, adults apathetic against children, the most vulnerable of our society. We have a lack of interest, a lack of enthusiasm, and a lack of concern as it relates to their well-being. And it's not just in our lack of policy for children. It is seen in almost every aspect in the intersection of children and media and technology. Sorry, that's my rant.
But that is just it. Apathy is a major problem because it prevents us from being humble towards one another. If we were truly humble in our hearts, which means we just empty ourselves and let us be filled with Jesus, then we would be concerned. We would be interested and we would be enthusiastic for the betterment of others. I just imagine the visitors going into this enclosure and thinking, well, now I just want to see what the gorilla looks like when he sees a TikTok reel, you know, a video. Now I'm curious. And I'm guessing that it's obviously a big problem, so much that the Wall Street Journal would cover it. And along with the zero consideration about how it really would affect the gorilla, these patrons just want to see instant gratification, instant satisfaction of experiencing the gorilla's reaction. And this is selfish, but that's what we're doing with children. And, you know, a leading conservationist, one who was one of the first people to create the gorilla program at the Columbus Zoo. So he was interviewed about the issue going on at the Toronto Zoo. And this is what he said. I get that people want that sort of connection, but the reality is, what does it do for the gorilla? What an important question as it relates to us as humans interacting in relationship. But is it really a connection zoo visitors are looking for? We don't think so. I think there's zero desire for connection. It's really about exploitation. They want a reaction at the expense of the gorilla. And sadly, this is how we use children on social media. They're exploited for likes, comments, and even money. It just whether it's gorilla or kids, you know, when we don't think of others as better than ourselves, then inevitably we will not be able to serve anyone well. In so many ways, we are not asking the bigger question, what does this do for our children? Or what does it do for the gorilla? Or what does it do for myself? We are so caught up in obtaining the satisfaction of the experience that we've stopped thinking critically about the long-term effects. I think that's really what the big moral of this guerrilla screen time issue points to is that we really need to be considerate of others way more than ourselves. It's about humility.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, humility would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah. All right. So I think we will leave it on that. We have covered some hard topics, important topics that we all can be thinking biblically about. Friends, I would ask you to please leave a review at wherever you listen to the podcast. We would love that. It helps others see the show. We know lots of people are listening to the show. We love that. Thank you. But it's not getting out to more and more people like it could. And reviews help that along. So we appreciate you so much. Make sure that you are signed up for the Bullet Points newsletter. You can go to braveparenting.net/bullet points. There'll be a link in the show notes as well. That is how we get content out to you. We update you in an algorithmic free email. You don't have to go to social media to find out what's going on with Brave Parenting. We will email you the content at least once a month. Not going to harass you every single day or every week. So have a great week. And until next time, go and be brave.